Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
Yeah, I have a funny story about Booth, actually. So
we'll decide if it's funny, but go ahead.
I got accepted into Booth, went there for a quarter, and then dropped out and moved to Colorado. So I'm actually a Booth dropout.
Oh, cool. Oh, I love that.
Very nice. That's applaudable.
Yeah.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. This is the premier sales and personal development podcast on the planet Earth. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and my partner ever present is...
I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute.
So today is a great day. You know why?
Every day is a great day.
Exactly. That is the exact answer. And we're going to talk to diehards today about some stuff, but I think we're going to Facebook. I'm not really sure. Oh, well, our guest today is
yes,
Steve Ginsburg.
That's right.
Hold on, we have to tell our diehards that we started this episode with a game plan. We got huddled up, and I said 1, 2, 3, break, and then this is life. But this is life. You make a plan, and then sometimes
right, we get excited.
Right,
we get so excited to be here with you guys.
Yeah.
All right. So our guest is Steve Ginsburg.
Yeah.
She is the CEO of Ginball Digital Marketing.
Yes.
And this is pretty cool. She took a love of graphic design in college, and then she turned it into a digital marketing career. And we have a really fascinating interview coming up about how any salesperson, you don't have to be a big-ass company, you can be a salesperson.
I'm leaving that line alone.
Okay. How any salesperson can digitally market themselves and their business and how they should and how you should, diehards.
I think that's how Spanx started, a big-ass company.
Now you're talking.
By the way, if you are a diehard and you have a connection to Sarah Blakely, I need you to connect me because I want to interview her on our show so badly.
Don't tell her about that joke, though.
Yeah. Yes, but please, 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 I would like be so forever grateful for the connection.
Cool. And we will find out just how connected our diehards really are.
That's right. But first, let's go to Facebook because there's amazing engagement in our Seller Diehards official Facebook group, which, by the way, we would like for you to join if you're joining us for the first time. We love taking this off the podcast and into the real world. And David has written this whole thing, and he even created a poll in our group. And so I wanted to talk about this. Here's what he said.
Go.
He said, "Let's address an issue that I've had for over 15 years, and it still hasn't really resolved itself from my perspective as the salesperson." His issue? The weekly sales meeting. My sales team's meeting.
W-E-A-K-L-Y, correct?
My sales team's meeting is first thing Monday morning, and in many cases, I leave the meeting in joy that it's over, rather than being inspired and equipped to action. So I ask, what is the fundamental goal of the sales meeting? And how can we as salespeople, besides having a yes attitude, help make them better? How can we influence our sales managers to make it better? I try to stay positive about these meetings, but it ends up that I'm positive and the beatings continue until morale improves. and the beatings will continue until morale improves. And then he said, joking, not joking. I'm also curious how often organizations have sales meetings. And then he put a poll in for weekly, biweekly, daily, monthly, and the winner right now at the moment, and so he even added, what's a sales meeting? The winner right now by far is weekly. So it seems like a lot of salespeople, I know from my experience, we used to have weekly meetings, And a lot of salespeople are leaving those meetings uninspired. I don't think David's the only one.
That is correct, madam. If you would give, can I throw my 2 cents in there? I think that, first of all, David, is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
Why don't you just take over the meeting, David? Just say, hey, your boss hates preparing for those meetings. He's been doing it for a decade. It's Sunday night. He's had 3 beers, maybe 2 glasses of wine. He's watched television. He goes, oh, shit, I got to do the meeting for Monday morning. So if you, the sales manager, if he had any kind of understanding, he would assign the meeting to a salesperson. Look at our weekly meeting. Yeah. We assign it to somebody.
Yeah.
And it works. It totally works. That's number one. Number two, if there are things in your meeting that are, quote, housekeeping or administrative, email them. Don't spend my time. Don't take my time and tell me crap you could have sent me in a paragraph. Then I have to have something that's going to inspire me. So here's the best sales lesson I learned this week. It's going to be given by Bob. It's going to be given by Mary. And they're going to talk about what they actually did in the field. And they're going to talk about a sale that they actually made. They followed up for a year. They finally got the guy. They finally, you know, nailed it. And they made the sale. There has to be something inspirational. And you have to give 100% enthusiasm in the process or forget it. Now, there has to be humor. I think there should be a contest. And I think somebody should get $100. For the hell of it. You want to try it in our staff?
David, play that for your sales manager. Someone should win $100.
Yeah, exactly. Tell the cheap bastard to cough up some corporate dollars.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, tell the frugal.
So.
I mean, the meeting's not exciting. Right. Oh. They have to go out of there and walk through the wall. Now, can I go back in time just a little bit? When I was learning sales, we did nothing but inspirational stuff for 4 hours. Nothing. And we listened to Earl Nightingale, The Strangest Secret. We listened to every cassette tape that was available at the time. We read a chapter from Napoleon Hill, did a book report. We watched Challenge to America. And we were pumped. By 12 o'clock, we were on fire with information. And my idiot coworkers went to lunch. Not me. I scheduled an appointment for 12:01 every single day. And those I was so on fire. I was so inspired that was the secret of a great meeting is having a sales call 1 minute after the meeting is over so you can go close the deal.
So I love that. I want to talk about this both from a sales manager perspective and from a salesperson perspective. When I was a sales manager, I would search all week.
Where's Jen's music?
I don't get music for this.
Oh, my God.
Only you get your fancy music, Jeffrey. Right. It's okay. It's probably too distracting for me anyway. When I was a sales manager, I would search all week for something that would inspire me that I could bring to my team on Monday. And I would find it, okay? And I would do my own research. I would go out at night on Google and search for, like, motivational sales messages or, you know, whatever it may be, funny sales videos. I loved it. So if you're a sales manager and these meetings are like something you dread, then you're probably not doing a good job of inspiring and coaching your team. And if that's the case, admit that to yourself, okay? And find someone on the team who is inspirational. Now, if you are a salesperson and you feel your sales manager sucks at running these meetings, ask if you could have an inspiration minute. Ask if you could bring a motivation minute or a Monday motivation minute or something like that to the weekly meeting. And maybe even, you know, you guys rotate, but take responsibility and you'll have fun. At least you know that your part of the meeting will rock.
And Jen brings up a great point for anyone that is in any kind of meeting. You will dread a meeting in which you are a passive participant. But if you bring something to the meeting that you can, something that you can get out of it, even if it's you providing something or have a question ready for your team leader to ask, and if you get information from that meeting, then all of a sudden, at least you've gotten something out of it. I've seen so many people participate in meetings but not really be there.
Right.
It's like, of course you're miserable in the meeting. You contributed nothing.
Yeah. So my second to last year at the company I was with for 6.5 years, I turned to my boss during...
So that would be your 5.5 year.
I turned to my boss at our annual meeting, and we had 40 people out of the field for 5 work days, who weren't selling, who were eating a ton of expensive food in New York or Miami. I forget where we were. And no, we were in New York. And, you know, we were paying for hotels. So it was a pretty expensive week when you have an annual meeting.
Yeah.
And I said, this sucks. I said, we're wasting everyone's time here, including our own. And I was about to say, why don't I do X next year? And he goes, oh, you think you can do it better? And I was like, yeah, I can. And he goes, okay, you own next year's meeting. So if you're going to complain, be prepared
to take
responsibility.
Right.
And I was prepared.
I totally agree with that. Now, what's going on here today? We somehow got past Gene Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah. Gene Ginsburg of Ginball is amazing. Do you want to read our 5-star review?
I will read it.
All right, go for it.
We got a 5-star review, and it's a short one, but it's from Dan. Thank you for your time and effort in helping sales professionals and leaders become more, achieve more, want more, and push for more.
Amazing. That's what we're all about here on Sell or Die.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dan.
And his name is Archie Moore. Oh, no, that was a boxer.
All right, so let's get to our guest today, Gene Ginsburg. If you're in sales, you may not think digital marketing is very important, or you may not know where to start. And we're here today to tell you that it is important. Gene knows how you feel, and Gene will give you some first steps to start branding yourself online as a leader in your field.
It's important, and it's achievable by anybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us welcome the great Gene Ginsburg. So tell me about a little bit about where do you went to school in Chicago?
Yeah, I went to high school in the suburbs of Chicago. I went to college at University of Chicago. So spent most of my formative years, I guess I would say, in Chicago, and then stayed for some time after college there as well. So lived there for about 20 years total since I was a child.
I did a talk with Paul Hersey, the founder of Situational Leadership at Booth.
Oh, okay.
Which is like one of the premier graduate schools for business.
Yeah, I have a funny story about Booth, actually. So
we'll decide if it's funny, but go ahead.
I got accepted into Booth, went there for a quarter, and then dropped out and moved to Colorado. So I'm actually a Booth dropout.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I love that.
Very nice. That's applaudable.
Yeah.
Where did you finish master's? Did you go to...
I never went back. I just moved to Colorado, and that was the end of it.
Wow.
Cool. So you were smart enough to be able to avoid school.
It was just, I think, the right thing to do for me, I thought at the time. And I still think it was the right thing to do. I just don't know if an MBA was really the best solution for what I was looking
agreed.
For.
Especially, I don't think they give MBAs in digital marketing anyway, do they yet?
No, and really it was when I started my program, it was Booth was really known as a finance MBA program, really primarily focusing on those kinds of topics and, majors or whatever you would call it, specializations in the MBA program. And then it got, so it was actually the quarter that it went from being the Graduate School of Business to being called Booth. So that was the quarter that I was there that it was turned into Booth. And it became a lot more entrepreneurial from what I understand.
It's very entrepreneurial
program now. And it, you know, then it might have been helpful to me potentially to be part of it. But at the time I was there, I was like all finance. And I was like, that's not really my scene.
Gotcha. So what made you switch or what made you go to digital marketing?
Yeah.
Oh, good question. So I did a lot of graphic design when I was in high school and in college, and I thought that was really the kind of place that I thought would be a good place for me to begin my marketing career, which I did. Started off in graphic design, in marketing, and just doing generic marketing in the beginning. And then I got a job in digital marketing. I was working for an affiliate agency at the time when I first started in digital about 11 years ago now. I think I need to update my bio because it's now been over 11 years. And just totally fell in love with it. I felt like it was a good combination of technology and people skills and customer relationships. So that's how I've been doing it. So I guess I stayed with it for so long, for 11 years.
When you get a customer, what do you specifically help them do? How can our diehards that are out there that are looking for some digital marketing advice understand your expertise?
Sure. So I bring in the strategy for digital marketing. So how to find more prospects online. And because really now the attention has changed of the consumers from, I don't know, newspapers, radio, TV, to being online and being on social media. That's really why I drive that as really the main point. But kind of the day-to-day things and the tactical things. So we do things like Facebook advertising and sales funnels and nurture funnels and Google AdWords and retargeting campaigns. So those are kind of the tactical pieces that go into actually finding more prospects and then converting them into paying customers. So that's what I help my clients do.
So a lot of our diehards are salespeople. Where do they begin with digital marketing? What do you recommend they do?
I think my recommendation for anybody, whether they're salespeople or they have a business, is to put content out there, put valuable content out there for your audiences. That's really the first step that I always share with anybody who, if the question is, you know, how do I get into digital marketing or how do I start a business? I say the first thing is add value and start creating content, whether it's videos, blog posts, podcasts, audios, a combination of things. Could be all of them, but that would be the first recommendation.
Original content or repurposed content from someone else?
I would say both. I mean, I would recommend original if you have the time to do it, but at least a mix of original and repurposed.
And is there a specific platform you feel is better that they dedicate their time to over others?
You know, it actually changes because where the attention is changes all the time. So the last 2 years, it's been Facebook, but I don't know if Facebook really has that pull as much anymore. So it's also been Instagram lately for me and my clients. I've been using a lot of that. So I would say those would be the two platforms that I would recommend at this point. Now, in 6 months, things can change. In a year, things could change. So we could be having a totally different conversation in 6 months.
The targeted ads on Instagram work out pretty well on you, Jeffrey.
Yeah, ours are working for us. But
no, I mean, like, you buy everything that's targeted to you on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm a sucker. I have the fruit slicer. I have the battery. You name it. I got their shit all the time. But they know me too.
They do.
I mean, they come back at me. It's pretty scary.
We'll get a box in the mail. I'm like, is this from Instagram?
It is. It always is. So, but it works. I'm going to tell you, it works. And
apparently, you're proof right there.
Yeah. Do your customers advertise their wares on Instagram, or are they trying to make others aware of them so that they can attract the lead?
It's both. So it's branding and awareness campaigns. So starting basically what we call at the top of the funnel, but then also retargeting users who have engaged with the brand and then selling them, whether it's services or products. So it's both, because we want to think of it as a funnel. So top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, bottom of the funnel, which I can go into if you want me to kind of explain what that means.
Yeah, but let me throw this at you. People are always talking about, quote, brand awareness. But when I'm on Instagram and I'm looking at a product and it's like maybe it's a lens for my iPhone or the slicer dicer for my salad, I don't give a shit what the brand is. I'm looking at the product.
And reviews.
And the brand, that, well, I'll look at their reviews,
that's
of course.
Part of brand is reviews, testimonials.
Yeah, but I'm more concerned with, am I engaged with that product to begin with? Then I'm going to prime it and see if that product exists someplace else for a little less money, because I've done that too. Because sometimes the brand will be, the product will be $5 more on Instagram, and it's a pain in the ass to do all the registration, all that shit, versus just go to Amazon and one click.
But they still win because you bought their product and they made you aware of it.
Yeah.
So, yes, let's hear you go into the top, middle, bottom
Total.
Funnel.
I would love to hear all that.
Sure. So, yeah, I use that, use the funnel quite a bit in actually all the time with all of my clients and my own marketing. So, the way we think about marketing is it's a funnel because there's more people at the top, which is the top of the funnel. That's more engagement. Branding awareness so that users can see perhaps your content. It's not a hard sell at this point or any sort of sell. It's typically just engaging users for and you know, getting them to understand what it is that you do and get to have a better understanding of your brand. And then middle of the funnel are usually users who've already engaged with your brand and probably are looking to make a purchase. So it's more additional content, maybe more in-depth content is the middle of the funnel. And then the bottom of the funnel is the sale. So at that point, they're either getting their credit card out or they're calling a salesperson to get, you know, to get to the next step, which is the purchase.
But they're engaged enough and trust you enough to give you money.
Exactly. So it takes the funnel to get to the trust point at the bottom. So that's why it requires a little bit of time to nurture and engage.
But I like the Instagram part because they give you a little bit of a teaser and then you click the learn more button and then you get their 2-minute video or their 1-minute video of all the bullshit that they have. And then you page down and you go, wow, this is wow. And then boom, and you click the buy button. But before I click the buy button, I go off, and even when I'm on my phone, I'm off Instagram, I'm on to Amazon, I'm checking out the product and the reviews, and then I'm deciding if I'm going to buy it or not. That's my final decision there. So
that's
I bottom my own funnel.
Yes, you're the bottom of the funnel.
Right, and I'm a salesperson, so I'm the easiest sold. Salespeople are the biggest suckers on the planet.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They'll buy a shiny light.
They buy everything.
Yeah. Shiny object syndrome?
Well, they're moths to a light bulb, I'll just say that,
okay.
In the nicest possible way.
Hi, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. You may know me as the author of the Little Red Book of Selling or the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude, but what you don't know is I'm coming home to Philly. I'm coming home to talk to you about how to have your best decade ever. I bleed green, and you're going to bleed green money. This is not how to have your best year. This is how to have your best decade. Learn to earn. Invest a few bucks in yourself. The dividends will last a lifetime. Fly, Eagle, fly.
On the road to victory. EATLES, Eagles!
So talk to me about your customers and their expectations when they start. Because they see all these billionaires that show up online and they have huge wins and they're trying to give you, for $600, you can find out how I did it and you can do it too. Do your customers have a higher expectation for return when they start in digital marketing?
Yes, that's usually how when I first talk to them is that the expectation is very high and I need to talk them off the ledge because it's not realistic and there are many companies out there who make it seem like it's extremely easy and, tomorrow you can be a millionaire. That's not really realistic in any business. It doesn't matter what kind of business it is. Unless you have even if you have a very big budget, I think it would still not be realistic. So a lot of times I need to set expectations on what that looks like when we work together because it's not going to, there's going to be things that we need to put in place. There's going to be foundational things that we need to put in place before we even get into the digital marketing. So it takes definitely some time.
And we've done digital marketing with firms before. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you blame when that doesn't happen?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I don't think there's anybody to blame. I think there's
Well, who takes responsibility for the fact that it didn't go that well?
It's usually the other person who thinks that it's the other person's fault. So if it's the business owner, they think it's the marketing agency or the marketing person. If it's the marketing agency, then they think it's the advertiser who didn't give them up enough information. So yeah, it's always
one of these, right?
Opposite, yes, I would probably say. I think typically what I found in my experience, why things like from just my, you know, my empirical thoughts based on what I've seen, why things don't work is expectations is one. So usually the business owner expects a certain thing and it's not happening right away. And so they blame the agency, or there's just not enough information and communication going on in order for things to actually happen and for things to move forward. And there's a lot of moving pieces when it comes to this. So if everybody's not on top of it, and you know, both the business owner and the marketing agency expert or whatever, then things kind of can fall through the cracks. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
or their product
sense.
Just sucked.
True. That's also another one. Products might not be beneficial to the market, or just might be very competitive space. That's another one.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you wrote this book, Win New Customers, How to Attract, Connect, and Convert More Prospects into Customers in 60 Days Using Digital Marketing. Tell us some of the strategies. Don't give it the whole book away. Obviously, our diehards are going to go buy it. But give us some strategies that you talk about in the book to make all that happen in 60 days.
Sure. And I mean, I can go through the whole book, although it might take a little bit of time. So I'll condense it into maybe
a Reader's Digest version. Yeah. Those of us that are
Cliff
over
Notes
40.
Version. I don't know. Does Cliff Notes still exist?
I think so.
Hell yeah. If it wasn't for Cliff Notes, I couldn't have flunked out of college.
Well, back then, but I'm saying now, I feel like there's so many new platforms that are kind of similar.
I got to remember that.
To Cliff Notes. So the digest version is a lot of the things that we talked about already are in the book. So I go through creating a content strategy. So what does that look like? Why do you need a content strategy? I go through a product strategy. So ascending your users from or maybe bringing them down the funnel. So the top of the funnel to the middle to the bottom, because a lot of times what I see when I engage with clients is, you know, they might have a product, let's say it's a $2,000 coaching program or something like that. Well, it's going to be a hard sell right off the bat. You know, it takes a little bit of time to for the user to know, trust, and like you before they would buy it.
Right, I need a 60-minute keynote address before I'm going to buy your $2,000.
Exactly. So we go through what does that look like in terms of product strategy. So small bits and pieces to get to that $2,000 product. Maybe, you know, maybe it's some content. Maybe it's a lead magnet. Maybe it's a trip, you know, a $7 product or a $10 product before we get to the $2,000 product. So a lot of times business owners can't wrap their head around it, and they just want to sell the $2,000 product right away, and it just doesn't work. So we talk about Facebook advertising in the book. Facebook is changing, and it's not as prevalent maybe anymore. Retargeting campaigns, nurture funnels, and sales funnels.
Why do you think Facebook is losing its swagger?
Well, I just saw a couple, I think it was last week, that they took a big tumble in the market, didn't they? I think it was Q2 earnings. They definitely missed the goal on that one. Why they're losing their swagger? I'd say a couple of reasons. The whole scandal that happened, the Analytica scandal that happened back in February. So there was a lot of data that went out that wasn't supposed to. They changed their algorithm, their advertising algorithm, in the beginning of the year. So I think less advertisers are now it's much more competitive now because they're changing their algorithm. So there's a couple of reasons. I think also their advertising earnings are not the same as they used to be because they changed the algorithm.
And of course, they're not arrogant at all.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, I personally spend way more time on Instagram than on Facebook.
But they own that too.
I know,
it's like an oil company. They own everything but the sun. Therefore, solar power is not any good.
Right.
But I think you have to look at this from the perspective of something is going to be newer than Facebook and Instagram in another year, mm-hmm. or maybe two. But guaranteed something's going to come along that will have more attraction.
Absolutely. I think there's going to be a new paradigm shift as it was. So Google AdWords, we know that started. That was all text ads. And then Facebook came a few years later, and it was – you know, image ads, and now it's video ads. So things are just the paradigms has changed in how we see and view data and advertising and how we consume things. So I think there's going to be a new paradigm that I don't even know.
What can they do beyond video?
I don't know.
Someone knocks on virtual your door reality. In the morning and go, I'm here.
I think it might be something related to augmented reality that's, I think, would be the next step in how we view and consume information.
For sure.
You show up in someone's living room and on one of those holograms.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something like that where it's much more real because it's, you know, video is good and it's great now, but it's going to change.
Yeah.
Because as we know, with technology, nothing is stagnant. The only constant is change, right?
So has your book provided you what you were hoping for?
I mean, it's hard to really pinpoint how things have changed. Things have changed a lot in the past year, but is it directly correlated to the book? I think a lot of it is, but it's hard to pinpoint, you know, where I get my business from, where I get my clients from, per se. Is the book, I mean, I think a book has definitely helped get my name out there, but is it the end be all? Probably not. I mean, I think I've gotten a lot more opportunities having published the book. Absolutely.
I think there's a lot of our diehards out there that are business people that probably think they have a book within them, but chapter one has not been written yet. What spurred you to begin to write?
That's a good question. So I wanted to write a book before. So I wrote the book almost a year ago in September and started writing it back in May of 2017. So it took me about 4 months to write the whole thing. But before that, probably a year or two before that, that was one of my goals, was to create a book. Like I said, I met somebody who's a coach and he helps write entrepreneurs like myself create books. And I think that was a good relationship at the time because he kind of pushed me to do it. And so it was a good momentum for me. One recommendation I would have, and I'm actually working on creating a more encompassing digital course that talks about how to write a book, because I think I have had so many people ask me that question all the time, like, how did you write your book and how did it become an Amazon bestseller? So I think there's a lot of information out there that, it would be helpful. But my recommendation is if you want to write a book, speak your book into a recording device. That would be my recommendation. So the process would be to outline your book. Let's say you want to have 10 chapters, outline your chapters, you know, whatever is the topic for each chapter. Maybe have 5 or 10 bullet points underneath each chapter. So you kind of have talking points. And then for each chapter, speak into a recording device like your iPhone or a recorder for about 8 to 10 minutes is usually about a chapter. And then you can get it transcribed, and that's the basis of your book.
So I think that there's a technology correlation to almost every aspect of what we do in our lives. But clearly, the digital technology has created sales opportunities for people that did not exist before. And as you're on the edge of that, I was wondering if you had any words of wisdom that you would want to give our diehards about the state of the digital world today and where you think it's headed as an expert?
State of the digital world today. Well, I think there's been, of course, a lot of changes, which we talked about already. But the state is that there's been, I think, a lot of development in automation and personalization with digital marketing, which was not available, I'd say, five years ago or more. So that's been, I think, a big change. And it's becoming even more and more personalized. So businesses can now get to the right audiences and have the right message in front of them versus just kind of generic things that used to happen, let's say, 5 years ago. I'd say that'd be the state of the union right now, but a lot of changes, of course, going on, as we talked about, with augmented reality, with AI, that can be much more easily automated, even more so. So I'd say that's where we're headed.
I'd say it's scary what shows up on your feed.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely targeted.
everything. They know everything about you.
Once I buy that fruit slicer, 100 other fruit slicers show up.
Now they want you to get the orange peel.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I know you like this, but boy, are you going to love this.
Upsells.
And I'll tell you, sometimes it works and sometimes it's annoying.
That's true. I mean, that will happen.
So what do you recommend right now if someone's looking to start their digital marketing process, besides gathering their content, why would they hire someone like you to help them?
Well, I think the main reason would be expertise. So that's really kind of what I bring to the table and what my agency brings to the table is we work with businesses who that's just not their area of expertise. So right now, for example, I'm working with an attorney and she has also a bunch of digital products that are related to growing attorneys' businesses. So like solo practices and things like that. And she's an expert in being an attorney, but not an expert in being a digital marketing person.
Yeah. So not many people are digital marketing experts. Let's start there.
So I bring to the table my area of expertise when it comes to advertising online, when it comes to content strategy, when it comes to using personalization, automation, marketing platforms. I'd say that's a lot of times is what businesses lack is that they're like, I don't even know what that's out there. And so I can come in and make recommendations based on what it is that I feel I need.
Change is constant, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
She evolved from where she was as a kind of a regular person into a superstar by taking advantage of not taking advantage of digital marketing, but adapting herself to the ever-changing world of digital marketing and continuing to win at it.
Yeah, and it's interesting when she spoke about personalization and targeting and automation. You know, as a salesperson, you have to personalize. Like, you're not going to just randomly, if you're a great salesperson, you're not going to just randomly call the five prospects and say the exact same thing. You're going to say something that they can relate to. Mm-hmm. But now she's giving you a way to do that digitally so that you're not just calling five people. You might be hitting up 50 people at a time, but with personalized messages.
Yeah, there's sophistication to it. And you're going to have to realize the difference between a sales pitch and a value pitch. That something that will actually engage and connect. But in essence, what she was saying, and she didn't say it, but it is personal marketing without the marketing department. Like, you don't need those bastards anymore. They give you boring slides. They give you brochures. I'm talking about you as a person. And people don't understand that in 5 years, they're going to leave their job and their legacy is left online. I'm going to look at you as a potential salesperson. What mark have you made on the internet? What have you done that has attracted customers? What are you doing that's sophisticated in terms of the now world? Not today's world, the now world, because today's world is going to change tomorrow, guaranteed.
I think that Gen Zs and some of the millennials, and I'm sure some of the older people too, but let me stereotype. Let me stereotype for a second, okay?
Please. Let's take an entire race of people.
Well, it's an age, but okay. I think that they have this down. They know how to go on their phones and speak to the world and market themselves. Take Zach Krupp, okay?
No, take Gabrielle Gittimer.
All right.
The minute something changes, she's on top of it. She knows exactly what to do, and she treats it like nothing bad happened.
But she's out putting herself out there. She's branding herself. She's marketing to the world, and it is so natural to her in a way that it is not as natural to me, where I didn't grow up with the phone since I was 4 years old.
Yeah, for better or worse, they are establishing
sickness and in health.
They are establishing identities for themselves online, and if they don't do it, then someone else will.
Exactly.
Right. And now I'm going to go back to Zach because I know he's going to listen to this episode, and he's going to be like, "They were going to talk about me, and then they didn't."
Oh, let's go back to Zach.
Okay. So just to go to Zach for a second, he posts every single day what he's grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
He is beginning to brand himself in a way that. Wherever he is, anyone would be proud of.
He should go by Zach G. Krupp. The G stands
middle name
for
is gratitude.
Grateful.
Yeah. I love that.
Or Zach Gigi Krupp.
But it is so natural to these younger people who grow up with phones, and we have to.
It's not unnatural to me, but things change, and I go, oh, wow, that changed. And I kind of wince at it. But they don't wince at it. They just go for it.
I don't know that it's natural to most salespeople to start branding themselves. I just don't.
Yeah. They're afraid that something might happen and it might be taken negatively by their boss or their marketing department or whatever. And I say, jump in.
Yeah.
This is not one toe in the water. This is both feet in the water, up to your waist, and learn how to swim by paddling.
I love it. All right, guys, join us in the Facebook group, Seller Diehards official Facebook group.
Yep.
The best of episode comes out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I love what we're doing.
It's our most listened to podcast.
You're doing a great
podcast.
Job. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So if you miss an episode during the week, just join the best of and you can hear everything going on. But try to tune into everything and invite both your friends.
Right. And a couple of five-star reviews would not hurt. join the official Facebook page, please. Come see me live. Go to cgittimer.com. The Napoleon Hill book is coming out, and I'm totally jacked about it, Truthful Living. Please go to Amazon. Please buy it. Please read the full page quotes. Please read the book, and then please read it again.
This is pretty cool. A lot of people in the Facebook group have started to download the free first chapter that you've given out, and they're posting pictures of it. So it's just hillsfirstwritings.com. You can get the first chapter for free. There is a next page that we try to sell you something, but it's a huge discounted item, and you'll love it anyway. So just buy it.
It's in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. It's always in the show notes.
Where'd that voice come from?
Ah, the voice
That's
of God.
The new voice of God.
Oh,
that's God too,
huh?
That's God too.
I love God too.
All right. Well,
Well, I've got to get out of here.
We have to go now.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking forward very much to seeing you diehards in the next iteration of Sell or Die. And until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true Sell or Diehard, and we thank you.